This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Happy 5 o'clock hour, 5P drive on WEEI Afternoons. Got a little STP for you on the rejoin. Teddy Johnson's feeling it. Danny Ballgame in the house. And your old pal Nick Fitzy-Stevens here at the helm of the Enterprise. Andy Hart enjoying a summer's day off. It's hot. It's humid. It is sweltering. It is sunny outside, so we are happy to have you join in with us and give you a little sports talk to cool off your afternoon, friends. And we rejoin on the heels of your Boston Red Sox, winners of 6 of 7, their last four, 6 games to go before the All-Star break. A little momentum seeming to build underneath the wings of these very same Red Sox, who should be, according to reports, returning Masataka Yoshida tomorrow night. In a couple of days, perhaps, getting the good saint himself, Alex Bregman, back before the All-Star break. And yesterday, our friend Will Fleming, as I dubbed the loudmouth of Lansdowne Street, the clairvoyant of Kenmore Square, letting us know that there seems to be a little smoke around Jaren Duran sitting these days and possibly being mentioned in so many trade rumors, on top of the fact that last time he told us something big on the afternoon show, Rafael Devers was shipped out of town, or Devers, as Will Clark calls him, a few weeks later. And now he's telling us that they really want to do something big, whether it's at the All-Star break, Ted, or the offseason, or both. So I'd like to get our reaction around the room. First, we'll go to you, Ted, just how you're feeling about the Sox if the big 9-3 win last night against Colorado has you believing a little bit more, and how you feel about Will Fleming letting us know that there really could be a little truth potentially given the smoke surrounding all those Jaren Duran rumors with the Sox wanting to be active at the deadline.
Well, look, the second part, I'll just say I'll believe it when I see it. I think the Red Sox are very good at kicking the can down the road, dangling a carrot in front of us to kind of get us to certain checkpoints of the season, you know, All-Star break, and then the trade line, you know, and it's like, just if you can just hang in there with us, people, watch. Just what it's coming down the road. Guys are getting back healthy. You
keep
know.
Buying your tickets, guys.
Right.
They'll be worth something in September, I promise you.
And I think we're just like, okay. We just keep kind of walking into that trap. So there's a little bit of that. No disrespect to Will Fleming. It's not Will. It's just I think it's an organizational thing in which they kind of do that to keep people engaged, which I guess I don't blame them. The first part was just, do I believe this team is for real now? And the answer is no, I don't. Am I more optimistic? Am I optimistic about this team, perhaps turning it around? Yeah, but I don't think just because of how many runs they've scored, like ridiculous amount of runs, six out of the last seven they've won. They're hitting the ball off the cover. But they're also playing teams that have a combined, you know, record of others that are combined 60 games plus under 500.
Yeah, they've been playing crud, sucky, and lousy. Yeah,
and so
you play the teams you play, right?
Yeah. That's fine, but you could be up on the dregs of the league, but that doesn't mean you're a playoff team. That doesn't mean you're a team that's going to make noise in the playoffs. So they got to start beating teams that are better than the Washington Nationals or the Colorado Rockies or the Cincinnati Reds. So that's where I'm at with it. Just because they've won 6 out of the last 7, that's nice. This team has gone on runs earlier in the season, and you think they got it figured out when they don't. So this little 6 out of 7 against the teams they've been playing does not get me too worked up, to be honest.
So, Dan, do you think that perhaps – so right now, Ted, they're one up on Colorado, 2 to go, and then they've got 4 straight against Tampa at home – with some potentially inclement weather amidst this humidity coming up over the final stretch before the All-Star break. Dan, do you think it would take like a sweep of the Rockies in 3 of 4 from Tampa to get more disbelievers or skeptics like Ted, people that responded yesterday in a negative capacity to Andy's poll, to jump in and say, hey, you know what? Maybe Fleming was right. Hey, you know what? Yeah, this team may actually buy in after all.
I think that that's going to help. I think, continuing to beat the brakes off of the teams you're supposed to beat the brakes off of, that helps. Beating a division rival, hope maybe even, God forbid, jumping the Rays in the standings by the time you get to the All-Star break, that helps. But to the overall point, this is something Andy and I were talking about off-air yesterday, and he showed a little bit of optimism through off-air, surprise, surprise, where he talked about the fact that it was in the world that Will Fleming was talking about, where the Red Sox are indeed buyers at the deadline with no strings attached, how it's nice to be a fan of the Red Sox again. It's nice to be rooting for a major market team where you're once again, it's the Red Sox, the Yankees, the Mets, and the Dodgers bidding for the best and brightest in Major League Baseball. That is what is going to have to happen, I think, ultimately, before you get somebody who is in Ted's camp of being glass half empty to fully believe in this group. Not only are we seeing better results on the field, but you're being rewarded with, hey, I'm not adding Danny Jansen as my right-handed power bat. No disrespect to Danny Jansen, good catcher, better than Connor Wong. But you're actually adding something that's worth it without having to mortgage some of your short-term rentals. And Ted, I would be curious, is that the line of demarcation for you that would make you turn your tude and go, yeah, no, I'm in on this team now?
Yeah. Talking about the playing the better teams? I'm sorry, I was looking up the schedule real quick.
Oh, I'm talking not...
sorry.
winning, but adding, like, is adding at the adding at the deadline without having to sell anything, would that be something that flips you to the glass half full group?
Well, yeah, to some degree, but how are they playing going into the trade deadline?
Okay.
I mean, so mm-hmm. I guess I was looking up the schedule to kind of
last
see...
Last year, they crapped the bed so hard coming out of the All-Star break when they were six games over 500. It was brutal.
It's especially if they don't do anything at the trade trade, and they didn't do anything at the trade deadline. By the way, you know, because this we digress. Can I just real quick? Andy seems to think that we should give Craig Breslow and his buddy Breslowbot the benefit of the doubt because mm-hmm. look what he did in the offseason, right? Look what he did last year. Do you know what his trade deadline acquisitions were last year?
Oh, yeah. It was Jansen. It was Luis Garcia, who had an ADRA. Yep. Lucas Sims, who had an ADRA.
Yep.
He got Quinn Priester. who now has a 3 ERA for the Brewers.
Yep. James Paxton,
who got hurt and hated playing for the Red Sox so bad he retired from baseball. And was that it?
That's it. So, James Paxton, Danny Jansen, Lucas Sims, Luis Garcia, and Quinn Priester is who they got in the trade deadline last year. So we should just give him the benefit of the doubt. I mean, hell, Craig Breslow didn't even want Alex Bregman. That was an Alex Cora thing. So don't tell me that this guy's got carte blanche to do whatever he wants at the trade line. So
question my judgment.
sorry, Breslow. But I'm gonna. So it comes down to, What do they do before the trade deadline? And they have, I mean, some huge games against.
It's a tough schedule after the All-Star break.
Phillies, good. Let's test the lumber. The Dodgers. They're going to be playing teams that are leading their divisions before the All-Star break. I mean, before the trade deadline. And then that's when let's see how they do against those teams. I don't want to hear about these teams they're beating up on that are, 60 games under 500. It just doesn't do it for them anymore.
Okay, but you are hopefully folding Masataka Yoshida back into the dough tomorrow night for a couple of games before the All-Star break. You may get a peek at Bregman, at least at the plate, if not in the field, before the All-Star break. And he should be coming back at full cap.
Let's see what they do when they get
the
back.
Second half of the season, Ted, in Chicago next week against the Cubbies, another team scrapping and fighting for some playoff action with some
players. Do you have confidence in this team? Dan, you and Fitzy, I mean, do you guys feel like this team, the way they're playing right now with the additions coming, that this is a bona fide, hands down, without question, play? And the bar is now playoff. It's not about division. It's can you get in the playoffs, which a lot of teams get in the playoffs. But do you think it's a bona fide playoff team?
Fitzy, just to insert this in quickly, as currently constructed, no. Because they did the exact same thing last year where they got hot right before the All-Star break. They finished 10 games over 500 before the All-Star break last year.
10. Wow.
Then they went out and they played the Dodgers and they played the Rockies and they went through kind of a tough stretch and all of a sudden it fell apart. Your starters got tired. Your players that were playing, full major league seasons for the first time got tired and they fell apart. So unless you're supplementing guys that are already starting to show signs of wear and tear at the deadline, then no, as of right now, I think this is a mirage, Fitzy.
A mirage. You don't see this. I wouldn't say it's a mirage. I see this as something that needs supplementing. I wouldn't say mirage. Yeah, okay, I can say, I see how you're saying mirage, Dan, vis-a-vis, like, don't just get duped into thinking they're going to continue scoring 8, 9, 10,
yeah,
11,
like
12
this
runs
being
a game, getting 14
like they look
hits.
Like a playoff team the last week. I think that's a mirage as currently constructed.
But you know what? They're starting to believe in themselves, and you're starting to get Stiz. If we can just hear it one more time for anyone that missed it, you're starting to get electric moments from people like Roman Anthony, who didn't just go yard last night. He went yard to dead center field, and it was absolutely awesome.
Oh, well, I mean,
swinging a drive deep center field.
Well, the
towards the flagpole. All right,
guys. Well, there it goes.
So he hit a big home run. So yep. we got to just, this is a playoff team. If he can hit home runs like that.
No. I'm just saying, like, but also, let me give you a couple of stats, Ted.
Fire up the duck boats, baby. Let's go.
All right. So Danny Ballgame prepared this for us as well. Sox with 14 hits last night against the Rockies, 10 plus hits in five straight. Yes, I know they've been playing. They've been playing the husk of the Nationals into the Rockies as well. Rafaela with ding-dongs in three straight games. How about this? Mm-hmm. So you deal away the player who shall not be named to San Francisco who refuses to acknowledge Will Clark's suggestion he plays in first base. Richie Devers. That's our new name from now on, Richie Devers. So Rafi Devers doesn't show up. Roman Anthony, according to our stats and info department, 386 with a 994 OPS over his last 10 games. Batting average has jumped. It's doubled from .128 to .250. OPS has gone up by almost half, 548 to 751. Like, this is the kind of batting practice he needs to get so that you can.
Against the Phillies and against the Dodgers and against the Cubs? He's hitting against the Nationals and the Reds and the Colorado Rockies. All right, so that doesn't mean when he gets better competition, he's going to all of a sudden be hitting the same. But your point is well taken, and you do look at the impact, I mean, of not having Rafi Devers here, which a lot of people thought, you know, they were giving up. They're almost score one run more a game now that Rafi's gone. So there is that.
How about that? Addition by subtraction.
I guess 16 times this team has been – at the 500 mark at different times throughout the year. I don't know how you go, all of a sudden they're not a 500 team anymore just based on the last seven games. And also another interesting stat that Dan pulled yesterday, which I thought was great because he did it mid-segment, was the lineup changes. Does a team that changes the lineup as many times as the Red Sox changed? They have changed their lineup, according to Dan, yesterday, and this is a great stat, 73 out of the 91 games, and I think they played 92 now, but 73 different lineup changes. Does that seem like a team that knows what they're doing and has a great kind of handle on what they're you know, who they are night in, night out? Or does it look like a team that is just throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what sticks?
It's up to 74 now, by the way. They used another new one yesterday.
74 out of 92.
And they have two lineups that they have used three times this season. That is the most that they have repeated.
We'll see if they run out the same damn lineup tonight as well. But, Ted, don't you think that this highlights what a good job Alex Cora is doing with the, like, it's like every freaking ball game is a different episode of Baseball Chopped, where he's given a basket and has all these disparate ingredients, and it's like, go win the ball game with this? Okay.
That's a different discussion because I give Alex Cora more props than I think this show in general does. I'm not sure how you feel, but I feel like I'm not sure.
Because we talk to him every Wednesday at 2:30.
Does Dan have a different? But I think I've always given the benefit of the doubt to Alex.
The side eye to Dan Ball for not like, knowing where I stand.
I'm trying to remember where you stand on that.
No, I'm pro Alex Cora.
You're pro Alex Cora.
I'm very much anti Craig Breslow, and I also think that a computer is spitting out those lineups because there's
tell Cordette.
I don't want to hear that part because I'm not saying that's his fault. I mean, he's taking orders from his boss, and that's fine. And we have heard plenty of times Cora tells us one thing, and the other ends up being true. And I think
I am anti Dan Ball.
Yeah. Most people.
Thank you, Breslow Bot.
Most robots are. Man, that's friendly fire. That's nerd on nerd fire from Bresbot today.
On our show.
I appreciate it. We'll go out for a glass of WD-40, me and Bresbot, sometime and try to patch up our differences.
All right, so Ted, here's something that should give you heart. Talking about Roman Anthony, we know that last night there was a swing and a drive deep to the center, but then after that, who did he run to But your guy, your boy,
I know,
the saint of the Red Sox, Alex Bregman, and he actually spoke about that in the postgame.
Roman, last question. You mentioned Alex Bregman. We know how big he is for so many guys on this team. But having him come back and on the field this week, how important is that going to be?
It's huge. You know, he's like a coach in there right now. He's awesome. And, you know, he's such a great baseball brain. He's been such a huge help to me since spring training, really. Even talking to me when I'm in the minor leagues, you know, helping me game plan, helping me just, you know, go in there with a plan every day. He's got so much knowledge, and he helps each and every one of us. So just to get him back in this lineup, we obviously know what he is as a player, and he's a winner, and, you know, we're super excited to have him back.
Lifetime contract, blank check.
Yep.
I don't care what it is.
Tear it up right now. Four years, 150. Let's give it to him.
I'd say
12 years, 500. I don't care. Lifetime contract, blank check.
My buddy, old John McClain, tried to tell you before the season started, and no. I tried to tell you about Bregman's impact. And
I want Bregman playing up until he's ready to manage. Then Alex Cora goes upstairs. Bregman takes over. Seamless integration.
Nailed it,
guys. Crazy. I mean, you replace Rafi Devers with an all-star third baseman and a without question the anointed team leader of this team, and you still think that it was a bad decision. That you can't at this point, can you? I mean, can you still be on that side of the fence? I can't imagine.
You heard Will Fleming yesterday in his 5 o'clock hour interview on WEEI Afternoon saying that it was a baseballs on the, like, well, he said balls. It was, you know, nuts on the table. Like, it was like, nope, Brezel was like this. He said, what was the line again, Dan? It was like, this guy needs to go because he is not in alignment with our values and the way we want this team to be run. And so at least somebody on this team stepped up to the plate. And of course, John Henry signed off because he's like, oh, I can get out from under the contract. Great. You know, there was a big deal. And I think emotionally, at least, there has been a tenor change. Now they're starting to get a little healthier. Luckily, they were given some, quadruple-A teams to play, Ted, to fatten up. The real test will be the Rays into the break and then the lumber that they play before the trade deadline coming out of the All-Star
break. Ball on, balls on the table.
Balls, big ones right on the table. And it is, you know, I give them a lot of credit for that because there was going to be blowback and there was going to be a lot of people that were going to question that. And good for them. I think it was a gutsy call. It wasn't some, you know, weak ass, I'm afraid to do it because of what the fans are going to say kind of decision. I mean, I love that. But what I love is that there is a big test for this team leading up to the trade deadline. They're playing bona fide teams after the All-Star break that will tell them whether or not this team is worth investing in at the trade deadline. I love that. If it was a bunch of cupcakes leading up to the trade deadline, I would be a little bit nervous. So, cause you won't really know what you got. I think you're going to kind of know what you got. If Yoshida comes back and Bregman come back before the trade deadline against that competition, we should know more about really what this team is than we have all season.
Yeah, if you're continuing Fitzy to pitch well, if you're getting that kind of six innings, three runs that they seem to settle into more than not this last month or so, and you're getting consistent at-bats, different guys are the quote-unquote hero on different nights, so it's not all on Anthony or all on Bregman or all on Trevor Story and his resurgence, then, yeah, you kind of prove, all right, maybe now that we're five games over 500, whatever you end up at that point, okay, let's add a couple of pieces and go for it. By the way, before we go to trending, some reports that it looks like Roman Anthony is going to be playing left field tomorrow with the distinct possibility that Masataka Yoshida comes back and DHs tomorrow as well. So the smoke around the what the hell goes on with Jarren Duran question continues to grow as the left fielder of the future plays in left field apparently tomorrow.
Just saw that video as well from our guy at Bradfo as well, taking fly balls off the monster, which means that he will have DH, played right field and played left field in his first month and a half in the majors as well. You love to see it. Company Rook on the rise here. 617-779-7937 if you want to jump in and talk some socks. Real quick before we trend, Dan in New Hampshire says they're doing wrong by a different rookie. What up, Dan?
Hi, how are you guys? Thank you for taking the call before the break. You know, Meyer, I think he has to be a key piece here going forward. You know, they're kind of treating him just like they treated Roman Anthony when he came up, where he was appearing less and less up in the lineup. So I'm just curious, you know, once Bregman comes back and Yoshida, I'd definitely like to see Meyer more consistently in the lineup, maybe at second base. So I'll let you guys go and kind of hear what your thought is on that.
All right, thanks for the call. Dan, you were kind of getting into the whole, like, Anthony's playing more against lefties and growing up in front of us. Why not Meyer?
The splits are – people will cite the splits and say, well, in AAA, he wasn't as good of a hitter against lefties. That's fair, but they're not that stark. And the same thing can be said in the major leagues. He's about a 185, 190 hitter against lefties, 220 hitter against righties, something like that. So he's just – he's not hitting the ball great at all. And quite honestly, the less he plays, I feel like his at-bats are getting worse. I did not like the way when he came off the bench the last two games that it looked like he was swinging the bat. I feel like you're not letting the kid get into a rhythm and try to figure it out at the major league level like you are with Roman Anthony. So this may be too strong, Ted, but if this is going to continue and he's going to platoon and he's not going to earn your trust to play against at least some lefties because he's not playing for the third day in a row, not starting for the third day in a row, go let him develop in AAA. I can't have him. Marcelo Meyer should not be a bench piece for the Red Sox for me.
I agree. Real quick, where does he play? If Bregman's back at third, Yoshida's at DH, where does Marcelo play in the field?
Second base, baby. Okay. That's where I'm going for the time being.
Second base.
Yep.
Second base for sure, as long as Story is playing shortstop healthy and at a plus, or at least serviceable to sometimes plus level. 617-779-7937. Got a lot of fun stuff for you the rest of the way, including Ted's Movie Club, the sports hill that you would die on, which I think is going to be a potentially fun new segment here on the afternoon show. Odds and ends and more, but first, let's catch you up on everything trending in sports with Dan Ball.